bringing this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. May we see.
Good morning. It's great to have you with us as we worship the Lord together. Last week we started talking about the church and some of the key foundational beliefs and principles that we have. And we talked about how our purpose is the two greats, the great commandment, love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and the great commission to reach out with the gospel to the whole world. I want to begin this morning by inviting you first to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. You can be turning there where our study will be this morning in a wonderful passage talking about what the church should be. And I want to tell you the story of our brother Rudy. Most of you know Rudy, who's worked with our Hispanic ministry here since 2005. But he serves as a good illustration to begin our thoughts on equipping. Rudy was growing up in El Salvador, and his family came to faith in Christ through a brother who obeyed the gospel and then shared the gospel with his family. Rudy was working as a English teacher and teaching in the school there, but he began to have the desire to want to be equipped, to be trained more, and so he goes through the El Salvador Preacher Training School that we've supported for years, and years back it was still going on, and that school, as it has even to this day, doesn't interfere with people's full-time job. They're able to go there on Saturdays and other times where accommodate that. So Rudy went to that school and graduated and, of course, began to preach and had become more equipped as he learned how to serve in the church. He used his equipping that God had helped give him, his training in ministry and his training in the English language as he taught that, then to come to the U.S., and be a teacher or missionary of the church. And then ultimately, from Texas to here, we hired him in 2005, and he helped plant the local Hispanic church here. But notice now what Rudy has been doing for the last years here, equipping and training new believers. And so Rudy is not only in his own sons, but also in the new Christians there, he's been teaching them. Ladies, him and Layla have been working with them on how to teach Bible class, how to serve, how to minister, how to organize things in the church. With the men, he's been working and training them in how to lead singing, how to preach, how to serve on communion. Many of them were, just about all of them, were first-generation Christians, and so they had to be trained. How do we serve on the Lord's table? How do we do things in the church when it comes to organizing our service and our ministries? A constant equipping and training them. And then some of them are even now able to preach and teach classes. The cycle of being equipped from not being a Christian to becoming a Christian to becoming trained by others and then passing that on in training of others so that they, as Paul taught us, can then train other faithful men. As you think about the story of Rudy, though, I want you to think that Rudy, though he is exceptional, he's no different than all the rest of us. We all grow up in homes, and we all pursue our career as he was pursuing his career. He chose to make his talents open to the use of the Lord. And then God grew his talents and grew his abilities so that he did and was able to do, I'm sure, far more than he ever thought he would do when he was growing up a young boy in El Salvador in the Lord's kingdom. That is what I want to impress upon each of us this morning, is that every person has the desire, should have in their heart the desire, and they have the duty to be equipped so that they then can do the work of ministry and they can equip others. In Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13, Paul says this very succinctly and very directly. He says that he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. He gave some of those qualities there, some of those roles, obviously, are not in the church today. Apostles existed at that time, and you have the ones that Jesus selected, but there was not a replacing of the apostles. And certainly there were prophets who had that miraculous ability to teach and reveal the Word of God because they did not yet have the Word of God as we do today. But there are still evangelists, and there are still elders or shepherds or pastors, and there are teachers in the church today. But I want to call this group the leadership, the leaders of the church. All right? And include the deacons in there and those who are leading, those who are mature in Christ, we would say. They are to equip the saints, number one, for the purpose, number two, of doing the work of ministry. And number three, so that the church could be built up. So the church could be built up and the body of Christ could grow. And this morning, that's our lesson. Point number one is going to be to equip. Point number two is going to be so that we can do the work of ministry. And point number three is going to be so that we can be built up as a body of Christ. And so let's give our attention first to equipping. To equip, when we think about equipping, we need to understand that it simply means a strengthening, a training, and instructing, a qualification for a specific purpose. Jesus did not establish a program. Jesus equipped men and women to do His work. When He came on this earth, He recruited His apostles. He invested in them, as well as a larger group of disciples. And then He would send them out to do His work. He invested in people. His resource was humans. That's how Christ works. And it has not changed to this day. He works through people. He works through you. He works through me. And thus we have to be equipped. Paul says the job then of church leaders is to equip, to train Christians so that they can do the work of ministry. Now, there's three things I think that church leaders have to do if members are going to be equipped. The first thing they have to do is they have to give tools. If you're going to go out and do a job, and that's the root idea of this term, you have to have the, quote, equipment to do the job. And so this is a building type term in the Greek. And so if you're going to go out and do some carpentry work, we might say, you're going to have to get some equipment. Now, some of you ladies probably like to get on your husband or tease your husband or maybe even say why to your husband when every time he goes to do a project, he says, well, I got to go buy a new tool. And he says, and you say, but we've got a garage full of tools. Why do you need a new tool? And he says, well, I've got a lot of tools, but I don't have a tool that will do this job. I need a specific tool to do this job. It amazes me how the manufacturers and the cars and the manufacturers in all kinds of different industries make sure you've got to go buy a specific tool to do that job. And there's all kinds of different ways. You use a drill, a saw, a plane, and all these other different things that you might use. They all have a specific purpose. Well, that's what the church is about. You are a specific tool. Your ability that you have is often different than another one's ability. But we need everybody to contribute their tools, their abilities to the church. But many times, you don't know you have those abilities. You have to be equipped or trained in how to use those abilities. This is why we send our kids and teach our kids so that they can be equipped, so they can then go into the workforce with some training, right? You have to have a high school diploma or you have to have a college degree so that it shows you you've been equipped, you've been trained to do a job. You have to have tools. That's why we have Bible classes. The tools of a Christian involve things like prayer, involve things like understanding how to use our Bibles. When we think about doing the work of ministry, it involves understanding how you care for others and minister to others. It involves, in doing the work of the church, how you do benevolent work, how you do evangelism. That's why we're having, for example, on May the 5th, the Teaching Rocket Seminar, where we have an equipping seminar about how we teach and how we become better teachers. All these things are to give us tools so we can do a better job of ministry. There also needs to be opportunities. Today in the workforce, it is really big to have on-the-job training or to have shadowing sessions. And just about every kind of college degree, you're going to have to go out and do some type of internship. And many students will report that they learn more in a summer internship than they learned in semesters of college because it was on-the-job training. We need that in the church. You've got to put yourself out there. You've got to realize that you're not going to grow unless you experience things and get experience with it. Many times it comes through shadowing others and through learning from others. We have to give opportunities. And so if the church is going to be equipped, you have to be given the tools. You have to be given the opportunities. And I hope you know that you have opportunities. And if sometimes we're not as good at saying the opportunities, if you'll come and say, "I want an opportunity," then you'll surely be given an opportunity. And then number three, there has to be encouragement. Has to be encouragement. Barnabas was known as an encourager. Paul is going to say about Tychicus in Ephesians chapter 6, encourage, he's a brother, he's sending him so that he might encourage their hearts. And Paul told the Thessalonians, we exhort each of you and encourage you. If brethren are going to be equipped, they have to be given tools. They have to be given opportunities. But they also have to be given, you can do this. In the NCAA tournament, we've all been watching. People that are there in the stands, that are the fans of the teams, they often are not there just for entertainment, are they? They are there to support, that's the word we use, they're there to support their team. They're there to encourage their team. And sometimes you'll see fans, when their team starts getting a little down, the fans will try to get up and they'll start clapping and they'll try to cheer them on to encourage the team. Everybody needs encouragement. If members are going to be equipped. They're going to be given tools. They're going to be given opportunities. They're also going to be given a lot of pats on the back, a lot of attaboys, a lot of encouragement so they can do the work of ministry. Notice our second point. The second point is that we are to do ministry. And so the leader's job is to equip, but the job of church members is to do it. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it says to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The saints are to be trained to do ministry. Every Christian is a minister. Every Christian is to do ministry. Ministry is service for your fellow man, service for the church, service for Christ. It's spiritual service. It involves things like praying for others, encouraging others, exhorting others, rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep. It involves evangelism. It involves benevolence. It involves, and here's the key thing. You're supposed to do ministry whether there's a program or not. You're supposed to be someone who's reaching out and doing mission work and thinking about the lost whether you go on a mission trip or not. You're supposed to be someone who's involved in a prayer ministry whether there is a specific prayer ministry program or not. Jesus did not establish programs. He gained people. You're his people. Our job is to do ministry. To do ministry. Now, when you think about this role and what is ministry, many times in the religious context, down throughout history and even to this day, oftentimes the typical expectation in churches is this: leaders minister to people. And certainly that's a reasonable thing. And over the centuries, that led to what we have often called the clergy. There is the professional ministers, and they minister to the people. And we understand that there's a need for that. And I'm often introduced myself as the minister of the Seven Oaks Church of Christ or the preacher at the Seven Oaks Church of Christ. I am supported by the church here to be and do the work of ministry. But I am not the only minister. Every Christian is a minister. And the elders and the deacons are not the only ministers. In fact, when you think about what this led to down through the centuries, it devalues the role of everyone. It means there's a select group. And over the centuries, it led to a religious hierarchy who were often in the authority of the church, and that caused problems. It discredits everyone's individual example and the ministry for Christ in your setting. It leads to consumer-driven Christians who come and sit and watch rather than do and live out their faith. Notice that rather the model from Ephesians 4 is this: each Christian, that leaders are to equip. Christians then are to minister to each other and to the world. That is multiplication. I want to go back to my story with Rudy. Rudy was trained by others to equip. He was equipped. And then he now equips others who then are multiplying themselves with others. That's the way it is in the church. That's what we've often and always taught and believed at Seven Oaks, and that's what we need to remind ourselves in this foundational principle is that everybody is a minister. And the leader's chief job is to equip each member for doing ministry. And so we minister to each other. We encourage each other. We believe in each other. We strengthen each other. And here's the thing. When we go out tomorrow, we're multiplied because tomorrow, as we go our separate ways, to work, to school, to home, to wherever you go, you are a minister for Christ, a representation of Jesus in your context. So you are Christ's ambassador. You can minister to the hurting, to the needy, to the lost. That is who you are supposed to be for Jesus. You can pray because you have a great high priest that you can pray directly through. You don't have to go through any kind of earthly priest or earthly person. You can go directly to Jesus. You are a minister. That's what Ephesians 4 is saying. Leaders, you equip. Leaders, you equip the church. And the church does the work of ministry. And then when we think about this context, we understand that then each Christian is a minister. Now, this has always been God's plan. And if you go back and you look at two examples, the first one is Jethro in the book of Exodus chapter 18. Moses was the leader of the children of Israel. And he was doing all the judging for the children of Israel. Everybody was bringing all their problems to him. But it was too much. And so Jethro, his father-in-law, comes to him and he tells him this is not good. Because Moses had to learn to equip the members of the children of Israel. And so I want to read down in verse number 17. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you're doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You're not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice. God will be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And he should do what he should do. He should warn them about the statutes and the laws and make known to them the way that they should walk and what they must do. Moses had to be the one to share the law. He had to equip. He had to do what only he could do, setting the vision and the direction for the people. But notice the people, verse 20 or verse 21, he was to equip able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and ten. He was to equip the men, and then the men were to do the work of ministry. They were entrusted with this work at different levels. And certainly, in his case, they were judging, so he talks about the leaders of men. But certainly he was to equip, and they were to use the ladies in the service of carrying out and ministering to one another. In Acts chapter 6, there was a story in the early church where the apostles come together, and there was a problem with the Greek widows being neglected. And verse 2, they say it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of spirit and of wisdom, whom we'll appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to the prayer and to the ministry of the word. They could only do what they could do. The apostles had to set the vision. They had to pray. They had to preach. They had to do the work of equipping. They had to train. But then they were to set seven men, seven spirit-filled men, who were entrusted with the work of ministry. And of course, these men are going to use others, we could no doubt assume, to carry out the ministry of feeding these Greek widows. Notice the principle. The leaders equip. The elders and the deacons and the preacher, they're wanting to equip. They're wanting to delegate. They're wanting to set the vision and make sure that the church is proclaiming the word of God, only doing what they can do. But they are to equip and train others to do the work of ministry so that the church's work is multiplied and is exponential in its glorification to God. And so I want to come back to where I started. Each member needs to focus on your ministry. One time several years ago, I began the year by talking about your ministry. Everybody has a ministry. And you don't know what your ministry may look like tomorrow. That's what's exciting. And let me say this. It's a whole lot more exciting to do something for Jesus than it is to rejoice when someone else does something for Jesus. Now, it's great to rejoice when someone else does something for Jesus. But personally, it is more exciting when you are the one who does something for Jesus. I mean, let's think about, once again, a sports analogy. Those guys on the bench are cheering, and they're excited that their teammates made the basket. But every one of those guys really wishes they were in the game, and they were the one who made the basket. That's just the way it is, right? Here's the thing. If you want to become on fire for Jesus, and if you want to grow in your faith, then you do something for Jesus. Don't just expect and look at what others are doing for Jesus. It will invigorate you. It will help you feel like you have a calling and a purpose from God, and you will realize that God has put you in your family. He has put you in your work. He has put you with your friends because you are the only ones who have those windows of opportunity, who has those opportunities to minister in that context, and he has put you there because he has a role and a job for you to do there. And that's exciting because only you can do it. And so when you lead someone to Christ or you encourage someone who is bereaved or you help someone who is hurting, or you give from your own money to help someone who is poor, then your faith grows because you are a minister. You've been equipped, and you're a minister for the church of Jesus Christ. Notice our third point, for the building up of the body of Christ. And so when the church is equipped, and when the church does the work of ministry, and then back to Ephesians chapter 4, we see that the church is built up. It's more thrilling when you do the ministry. And three things happen in this context, Ephesians chapter 4. Three things happen to the church when the leaders equip and when members do the ministry. And the church is built up. Notice verse number 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. The first thing that happens is the church is unified. The church is unified together. Because we're not watching others do the work of ministry, we're doing the work of ministry. And we're ministering to one another. The Bible talks often in the New Testament about one another. Encourage one another. Exhort one another. Edify one another. Love one another. Help one another. We're supposed to do all these things to one another. And that unifies us. That strengthens us. That helps me when I do it for someone else. And it helps me when they do it for me. And it helps you when you do it for someone else. And it helps you when they do it for you. You see, it unifies us when we minister to one another. The body grows itself up, Paul says, in love. He talks about this in this context. Let's go ahead and read the rest of verse 13. To the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitfulness schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So the body is unified. Number two, members are matured. Most of us that have children probably have some way of keeping up with how high and how tall our children are. And you mark that level of growth as they grow. And you'll write down how old they were when you mark that. And of course, a young child is thinking, I want to be like mom and dad when they're little. I want to grow up and I want to be as tall as dad. I want to be as tall as mom. And they're looking at that. And each year they get a little closer, don't they? As a Christian, we're always looking up at Jesus. And we're always trying to measure ourselves by Jesus. And we're wanting to mark ourselves. As the years go by, we ought to be growing. We ought to be increasing in how close we get to Jesus. This is our sanctification by the Spirit. We are never going to reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, but we ought to be growing. You know how you grow? It's by stepping out there and serving others. It's by being a minister. It's by doing things because of your faith. It's by being equipped, by learning about the Bible, by learning about prayer, by learning about the church, by maturation in Christ. You see, members mature when they are equipped and when they're ministering. You have to put yourself out there in order to grow. And that's so very important. Every member should be growing in their faith. And then when we think about this idea, it also leads to number three. The church is healthy. Church is healthy. Paul says at the end of this chapter that we're no longer tossed, or at the end of this section, verse 14 through 16, that we're no longer tossed to and fro like children. And he says, verse 16, I love this verse, that we're joined and knit together when we've been equipped and each part is working properly. You know, if you have in your body, in 1 Corinthians 12, he illustrates it like this, the church is a body. And he says that if one part's not healthy, then it affects the rest of the body. And you know that to be the case, right? If you've got a bad big toe, just a little bitty big toe, but that big toe can affect whether you can walk good, whether you can run, it can affect the rest of your body. You might have a shoulder or arm injury, or you may even have something more critical, like even your hearing or your sight. And any of those things, just one part affects the overall health of your body. That's how it is in the church. Every member affects the overall health of the body. And if one part is not healthy, then it affects the church. And so if every member is a minister, then it causes the overall church to be healthy. I hope, too, that as a church, we never give the impression to those who come and visit with us or those who become a part of our church family that this is a church where you come and sit. This is a church where you should be expected to serve, to grow, and to work. That we're all wanting to be growing in Christ. That we're all wanting to contribute in Christ. And everybody's contribution, I'm not just talking about when the plate is passed, I'm talking about everybody's contribution as a minister is vital for the health of the church. You see, that's how the church is built up. That's the Ephesians 4 model for building up the body of Christ. Three things happen when the church is built up. Now, when you think about parenting, what in the world are we going to parenting for? I want to close with this illustration. The job of parents is really to equip. You get this little baby, and that baby knows nothing, can do hardly anything on its own. And we, in our culture, we say, even though I know you're really going to be training the rest of your life, we say you basically got 18 years to equip, to train that child from a baby to being an adult. And they've got to go out on their own, and you want them to be able to, quote, adult, right? They've got to be able to be responsible. They've got to make good financial decisions. They've got to be able to work. They've got to be trained and equipped so that they can go out and leave your home and be a successful, God-fearing, Christian adult. That's your job as a parent, is to equip. And you expect them to grow. You expect them to mature. Well, that's the same in the church. You take a child of God who's baptized into Christ, they come up out of that water as a baby. The church, the leaders of the church, are to equip, to train. And we don't have a set number of years like we do with the child, but that person is expected to grow and to mature and to be trained so that they then can be a mature Christian, and then they can take other Christians and mature them. It's the same as parenting. We are to equip and we are to train so that we then can each be a mature person in Christ. This morning, if you're not a child of God, let me encourage you to think about putting Christ on in baptism so that your sins can be washed away and you can be right with your Father in heaven. If you need to respond to the church, if you are a member of our church, but you've not been doing the work of ministry and you want to repent, you want to come back and you want to say, I want to be a servant again, and I want my contribution to be counted for the work and service of the Lord. I want to repent of not being involved and not serving in the church, being faithful to the church. Then let me encourage you to come. If we can help you in any way, come as together we stand and as we sing.